This is URN.
The Sports Show Breakdown.
Let's start off the show by talking about the cricket. Now, there was a, like I said earlier, there was a five-match ODI series. England won the Test series against South Africa. And, you know, they were 2-0 up in this best of five game ODI series. And, you know, they faltered. They lost one. It was 2-1. You know, we were saying, well, we still only need to win one. They lost the next one. It was 2-2, and they did, of course, go on to lose the final game, thanks to, of course, AB de Villiers, who hit a 101 not out from, I think it was about 97 balls. Guys, opinions, did you guys, I mean, yeah, you guys don't follow cricket that much, but you would have expected in that 2-0 position, you would have expected them to win, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, you have to think that at that point, when you're one win away, or even a draw away from not losing a series, you don't end up throwing it away. But as is so evident of many English national men's teams, they have a habit of throwing things away when it seems to be all is won. But having said that, I don't know. I look at the fact that England scored 236 in their innings, and don't think that's a horrifically low score. Like, South Africa still had to work to get to that.
It's not. I mean, Cape Town, I think, is definitely one of the more harder places to go and play cricket. I don't think that there's the chasing team, so to speak. I don't think they've ever chased down a total that's higher than 257. So, in the grand scheme of things, you know, that was quite a decent total on that pitch. But yeah, it was just an absolute poor performance for England. I think they lost. I've got a stat here. They lost seven wickets. Their last seven wickets. They lost. All of those seven wickets for 81 runs only. Now, you'd expect seven batsmen to, you know, do better than just scoring 81 runs, wouldn't you, Shauna?
Yeah, definitely. I also thought that with South Africa, like, the comeback was amazing. It's actually said that it was, like, the third time that it's ever been done with a five-match series like that, that they've actually won, which is pretty amazing. I don't know if it was how expected it was.
There was perhaps only one real big highlight for the England cricket team, and that was, of course, Alex Hales, who hit 112 runs. And then the next highest score, I think, was hit by Joe Root, who scored 29 runs, which, again, you know, it's absolutely disappointing, isn't it, David?
It's a sad sign that England are looking for so many positives out of this, and it's a sad sign that we're struggling to find positives, really. As we said, you know, you cannot be going 2-0 up in a series. You cannot be playing some of the best cricket. Okay, we got away with the first test in the first ODI in Bloemfontein, you know, winning on Duckworth Lewis. You know, five wicket win in the next one is decent. And then I actually think it's that fourth ODI, that defeat by one wicket, that really cost England. I think that's the kind of thing that you get when you're going to win the series. It goes your way, you get away with it, you end up just about pulling out a result. And it's the same in any sport. It's going to demoralise, it's going to change, and as we saw here, England were rash, their shots were poor,
but Hales did do really well, like, and he's a Nottingham boy as well, which
it's good for a sport in total. I mean, you mentioned Alex Hales. Now, he became only the fifth batsman to register five consecutive half-century scores, which is scoring 50 runs in five consecutive games. And, you know, throughout the entire series...
As in ODIs?
Yeah, as in ODIs. He was the highest run scorer for England. He got 383 runs. And then I think Joe Root came second with about 370 runs or so. We are obviously going to move on to talk... before we go to a song, we're going to talk a bit about the rugby. We're going to cover the Wales-Scotland game. Did any of you guys manage to catch the rugby on the weekend?
We saw like 10 minutes, I think. 10 minutes of it?
You saw
the ending. I think I saw the ending of it.
Well, I'm expecting a brilliant expert analysis from you then, Shauna. Obviously, if you guys didn't catch the game, it was Wales versus Scotland was the first game to be played on the Saturday, and it did finish 27-23 to Wales, which... You know, Scotland are looking like they could perhaps, you know, not finish bottom this year.
Scotland are looking a better team. Scotland are looking like they can actually put the ball, that they can actually force the points, because it's always what was said about Scotland. Scotland never used to have a horrifically bad defence. They didn't used to get beaten 50-0. What, Italy? The Italy problem. their problem was that they just didn't score enough. And that at times has come back to bite them. And it's actually something we're seeing a lot more of the home nations now. You can look at England's performance in that World Cup and say that that was actually the problem. It wasn't that they conceded far too many, so they just couldn't put enough, just couldn't do enough earlier on in the game. And Scotland led, I think, for a fair amount of that game. And it was fairly towards the end where that got taken off them. And I think they'll be buoyed by this. They've played two of the toughest teams in the tournament. They've still got games against Italy and France to come. And they can... They should hope that they can stand a good chance of winning them.
You talk about the Italy game. That is, of course, their next game that they have to play this weekend against Italy. You know,
in Scotland?
I believe so. But, yeah, you know, that's really looking like it could be the game that perhaps... you know, decides who finishes last. So
well, traditionally it is, isn't it? It's the wooden spoon battle because those two teams finish fifth and sixth. But I don't know whether we are going to see Scotland break that, because it's all well and good saying they're playing well, but can they actually turn something out of it? If you have the best team you've ever had and you don't win things, then it's all well and good them being the best players, but if you can't win out of it,
that is very true. Did you watch the game then?
I managed to catch some of the game. I didn't watch all of it, but I did manage to catch some of it. I knew that Scotland were ahead. They were ahead at half time, 13-10. You know what? It was really disappointing, because I mean, in terms of, you know, England's chances, you'd want a team like Scotland to be beating Wales, wouldn't you, David?
Well, that's the glory of the Six Nations, isn't it? I seem to remember that advert from the BBC that got banned because everyone was, you know, it was meant to promote the idea of solidarity. Yeah. And actually what it was saying is everyone wants everyone else to lose. And it is a very funny advert. I do suggest going and looking it up. But that's it. You've got to look at your own performances. Unless you win all five matches in the Six Nations, your own performances are not enough on their own to win you, or to achieve what you want to achieve. You have to rely on other teams not doing it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. Now, if we talk about upsets, we're going to talk about the France Ireland game. It was a bit of an upset. Ireland led 9-3 at half time, and France managed to mount a comeback, and they did win 10-9, of course, which, you know, in terms of England and their chances of winning the tournament was great as well. I mean, France are a good team, but you would have expected Ireland to have won that, given their you know, their history in rugby competitions and how successful that Ireland team are. Shauna, why do you think that? Why do you think that they lost it? Do you think that they can still win the Six Nations, or is it now gone?
I don't know if they can now, because they've lost, haven't they? Lost like two of their games, both the two of the games they've played, they've lost.
They drew the.
Drew the opener, I think.
Yeah,
didn't
so they drew the opener against Wales. It was a 16-all draw, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And yeah, you know, they're going to be there. I think their next game is, of course, against England, who have done well so far in the tournament, and you know they put on an impressive display against Italy, winning that game 40-9, which was absolutely amazing for someone who just sits down and watches rugby. Watching that game, there was a space of about 6 or 7 minutes in the second half that really changed that game around, and that was of course when Jonathan Joseph managed to pick up two quick tries in quick succession. Now, just looking forward to that game against Ireland. Can England do it, David? Can England beat Ireland?
We ask this question every year, don't we? We ask this question, can England be the team that we know they can be, the team that, you know, won the World Cup in 2003, runners-up to debatable decisions in 2007, and then performed so abjectly in the last couple? Do I think they can win? I'd better be very careful with my predictions, lest that happen again. But yes, I'd like to think they can. England need to play well. It's at Twickenham, I think, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
I believe so as well. Especially after the way they played on Sunday.
Do you think, Shauna, that if they can beat Ireland, that they'll be able to win the tournament? Because then that'll be 3-3. They've beaten one of the best teams in the tournament. They really only have to face Wales to actually win the tournament in that retrospect. You know, Wales are by no means a pushover either. Do you think that England could potentially do it, or do you feel that if they lose this, then they're going to start slipping down the table, and we're going to see what we see from a typical England rugby team, where we just start off well, play the teams that we should be beating, and then sort of slip off slowly towards the back end of the tournament.
Well, if they beat Ireland, and Ireland drew, didn't they, with Wales?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so they're kind of on the same, maybe the same level. We could say that probably they will be able to beat Wales.
Well, before the break, we did talk a bit about the rugby. We're now going to move on to talk about the football. And, of course, there was a story that come out about how there's reports that the Premier League and the FA, the English Football Association, are considering scrapping the replays in competitions such as like the FA Cup. And there's also talks about them perhaps changing the semi-final to from two legs to just one leg that's decided into extra time. David, I know you feel strongly about it. We had this discussion a couple of weeks ago when Sam Allardyce came out and had his comments to say. What are your opinions on the matter?
My opinions are the FA Cup doesn't need to change. The FA Cup is fine. It's been fine for ages. It's been fine in our football system since, you know, what are we on now? 135 FA Cup finals it'll be this year, I think.
Something like that.
We don't have a problem with the FA Cup. I think the problem English football has is that unlike most leagues in Europe and most leagues we're competing with, we have a secondary cup competition, and that's for all teams. I'm not saying that teams in Leagues 1 and 2, for example, have the FA Cup, the Insert Name Here Cup, and the Johnston's Paint Trophy. If they're that bad, they may also have the FA Trophy to contend with as well. So two competitions is more than enough. And I don't think there needs to be a competition. There does not need to be a League Cup in this country. League Cups are reserved for countries where there are one or two leagues, maybe even one, and essentially the Open Cup, as it were. The Open Cup, the idea of the Challenge Cup, where anyone that's a professional team above a certain level can enter, is good when you've got systems like you have in most countries where there are more than five or six leagues that can enter at some point, and lots of teams, and there's a chance for you to meet, you know, the biggest team in your country. Whereas the League Cup, there isn't a chance to meet a Manchester United in their pomp, because Manchester United don't care for it. There isn't a chance for you to meet Arsenal in their pomp, because I can't remember the last time Arsenal put out their strongest team in the Carling Cup.
Now, you talk about the lower league sides. Now, Sean, obviously, if they were to scrap these replays, perhaps it might stop the potential of, you know, these lower league clubs getting televised games at bigger stadiums, getting the TV revenue, and it will really generate a lot of money for the lower clubs, as it does already. Do you think that will have a massive impact on the lower league clubs, or do you think that it won't perhaps affect them that much?
Well, I think it will definitely affect them, because then they obviously won't be televised or whatever. But I don't know. I think like what the problem is that they're saying is that because they play so many more matches, all the foreign players they see it as a shock, and it's not something that they should be equal kind of thing. But saying that as well, the fact that this debate, it's not going to happen for a long time anyway. So it's like I think their contract whatever runs out until it's like 2018 or something, so it's going to be a long time until anything even happens. So it's not something that's immediate anyway. That I just don't think it will happen.
I mean, my personal opinion on it, I think I agree that when they're making the replays and when they have such a busy schedule, you know, David, you mentioned it, compared to the rest of the European leagues, we have two competitions. You know, some of the lower league clubs playing more, but or most of the major Premier League sides play in two cup competitions, and that really
well, no, it's playing at least two cup competitions, because you've also got Europe to contend with.
Again, yes. You know, you look at the likes of, especially if you're playing perhaps in the Europa League. You know, when they have their game, no one wants to be playing on a Thursday and then have to play on a Saturday, and then you know, play the Tuesday, play an FA Cup.
Yeah, Thursday,
game
Sunday,
on Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, but
you know,
why should we condemn playing more football? I don't understand why you'd want to
because
stop them. Like, just let
physically,
them play.
It can't be done. Mm.
But it's being done now. So
and no, it's not. It's not being well done. We have this example of, you know, the best example of it is over the Christmas period, where there are games played on the 26th and on New Year's Day, and by the workings of the calendar, that they have to be 6 days apart. Standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's fine. But there's always a game on the 28th as well, or the bank holiday Monday. That's really unnecessary. It's three games in a stupidly short amount of time that teams can't normally cope with. You know, a couple of years ago, there was one of the best games on the 28th, which was Arsenal 7, Newcastle 3. Why did that happen? Well, Newcastle had lost 4-3 at Old Trafford. Newcastle had to travel, okay, it's not too far to Old Trafford, and then all the way down to London on the 28th. That's great for your travelling fans, isn't it? But they had to travel there, and then whilst Arsenal's game at home to West Ham, nice short distance, that's doable on the tube, was postponed. So it's an unfair, it's realistically unfair that you have, and it works with the idea of the Champions League and the replays as well. Jurgen Klopp was angry that his side had to play a cup replay against Exeter and then had to do it again against West Ham. So it is an absurdity that there are so many midweek fixtures that we have to write off that we can't play just because we have other things. We cannot hold league games. You cannot run a competition that is televised against the Champions League. That's part of the rules. No European competition can do it. Fine, okay. But we limit ourselves by having this League Cup so early in the season. I think it's a pointless thing, and I think we should scrap it.